Accession number 18530, Real One.
Dennis Snelling, Real One. Where were you born, please?
A village called Havingham. Hevingham.
Where's that?
Oh, it's about 4 miles from here. On the Cromwell Main Road.
Sorry.
Norwich to Cromwell Main Road.
And which year were you born?
33.
Did you grow up in Hevingham?
Yes.
And went to school there?
Yeah.
So, were you in Hevingham during the Second World War?
Yeah.
What was it like being a schoolboy in Hevingham in the Second World War?
Well, that's well, that was all right. It was a close community and everybody worked hard and everybody, just cut me out now, so like,
did the war affect you very much?
Not really. One or two planes crashed around and that's about it.
You were telling me earlier about evacuees coming to the village?
Yeah, they all come from London and we still keep in touch today.
Did any stay at your house?
Yeah.
How did you get on with them?
All right, basically. Some went back right quick and some stayed to the duration of the war.
Were they any different from the Norfolk boys and girls?
Well, different upbringings and things like that. They weren't, a lot of them fitted in very well. They all got homesick and went back, most of them. Perhaps a couple of hundred come and perhaps 30 stayed.
Did the war affect your schooling at all?
Oh, definitely. Because you were collecting waste paper or had no coal or no electric. And the London, the evacuees had the school in the morning and you had it the afternoon or vice versa. And couldn't never find anything.
What were you collecting?
Waste paper for the war effort and things like that.
Were you doing that instead of lessons?
Yes, yeah, some of the time, yeah.
Did any bombs drop near the village?
One or two people got killed during the war in the village. Because there's a lot of airfields around and they missed the airfields. And caught some of the houses, but 9 out of 10 bombs in the village landed in fields and meadows.
Do you remember which houses were hit?
There's one up the heath at Hevingham. One old boy got killed.
Were there any celebrations in the village at the end of the war?
They collected during the war, had a nest egg fund when the soldiers come out of the war. And in the village school, they presented them with the money they'd collected all during the war for these nest egg funds when they come out of the forces.
Was that to give them a sum of money?
What they'd collected over the 4 or 5 years.
Now, how did you come to be in the army yourself?
Well, as soon as you're 18, or just before you're 18, National Service, you have to go and register. And if you didn't, you'd be in trouble as a law.
Which year were you called up?
1951.
And where did you do your basic training?
Norwich for 6 weeks.
What was that like, the basic training?
Well, discipline was, basic training was everything from bullying all the time to you're at it all the while, night and day more or less, you know what I mean. Getting your gear ready and inspections and all that sort of thing, marching and drilling and things like that, and perhaps a day or two on the rifle range, which was nearby. Then after 6 weeks, went to Bury St Edmunds for 10. Then out, went January 52, went out to Hong Kong, where we couldn't go to Korea till we were 19. National servicemen couldn't. So we stayed in Hong Kong till we were 19. And as soon as you're 19, you get on a troop ship to Japan and go to a battle school near Hiroshima.
Just before we go on to Korea, coming back to the training in England, how did the people in charge treat the recruits like you?
Well, you respected most of them, yeah. Very good.
How did you cope with the training?
Well, us Norfolk boys were always used to wearing boots with 13 studs in, if you know what I mean. That may sound daft to you, but you always went to school with hobnail boots on, where perhaps townies never did.
Was the training hard?
Not really, not if you were fairly fit, because in the villages you always biked us football matches and that sort of thing, village against village, and or walked, used to have to walk 2 or 3 miles to school anyway. So we was always fit nearly all our lives.
Had you been doing a job before you were called up?
Oh, yeah.
What had you been doing?
On a farm.
Whose farm was that?
He's dead now, but that was Miles of Hainford.
How did you feel about going abroad?
Well, everybody else was doing it, so you have to do it.
Were you looking forward to it?
Well, yeah, I suppose it was, really, yeah.
What was the voyage out to Hong Kong like?
It was all right. It was a very slow troop ship called the Windrush.
What were conditions like in the ship?
Oh, that's very good, I thought, anyway. Hygienic and that sort of thing, but some people got seasick and...
Were you already a member of a regiment when you went out?
Yeah, I was still in the Norfolks.
And in Hong Kong, what happened to you?
We went attached to the Middlesex Regiment in the New Territories on the Chinese border. And they'd already been to Korea, the Middlesex. They were one of the first regiments there. And they put us through a bit of training. There was mountains and hills to get training on.
And did you have anything to do with the civilians in Hong Kong?
Not really. We was on OP duties or the Chinese border or garden ammunition dumps and all that. You could have went down to Kowloon sometimes, but not very often. Once or twice, I suppose.
Any incidents that happened to you in Hong Kong?
Not really. Not what I think of anyway.
And you said you went from Hong Kong to Japan?
Yeah.
What happened to you in Japan?
We dropped off at a place called Kuri, where there's a depot for the Commonwealth Division. And we went to a place called Haramura, which is near Hiroshima, where the atom bomb was dropped.
What happened to you there?
Pardon?
What happened to
you? We'd done live training with tanks and realistic as nearly war was. Learned fire rocket launches and grenades and things like that.
And then what happened next?
Well, we marched back to Japan, to Kuri. I couldn't tell you the distance now, but that perhaps took a couple of days to march back. And then we went to Korea.
Which regiment were you in by now?
Still in the Norfolks. And when we got to Korea, the Norfolks had about a couple of months to do. So there's about 140 of us who had been trained in Japan and Hong Kong. Had to be, except about 35 to 40, who had replaced the Norfolks who got killed. The rest had to join the Fusiliers. Because they were then coming out from England, and the Norfolks were coming out of the line. So we have to change badges then.
How did you feel about that?
Well, everybody like plans their own village or town or county first, don't they?
How did you get from Japan to Korea?
On a very small troop ship, what held about 140 people. Very small. I can't think of the name of it now, but I could look it up. But
and conditions in that ship?
Well, it only took a day, so you put up with it.
Where did you arrive in Korea?
Busan.
Did you get any kind of welcome?
The American Negro Band met every troop ship.
Was that appreciated?
Not at the time, I don't suppose, because that was a stinking place.
Did it smell?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Do you know when you arrived in Busan? Which
I
month?
I think it was about end of July. 1952.
And had you joined the Royal Fusiliers by now? Or
no, we went to a transit camp where they come and each platoon corporal or sergeant have to say how many he want to make of his platoon strength or company strength. And they sent the platoon sergeants or corporals, however many they want in that company, to make strength. So, you know, some about 20 went in one company, perhaps 10 went in another, that sort of thing.
Where was the transit camp, do you know?
I couldn't say really. It could have been about 50 miles behind the line.
And which platoon and company did you go into?
I went 4 platoon, B company.
Do you remember the people in charge of that platoon and the company?
I remember the platoon sergeant. Sergeant Lou Taylor. Never seen him since.
What was he like?
Very good, respected him. Led from the front.
And do you remember who was in charge of the company?
Platoon officer. You have a platoon, every platoon have an officer, second lieutenant. Nicholas Harmon.
Harmon?
Harmon, start with A. Huh?
What was he like?
He was alright, very good. So he got wounded and ambushed and wounded, and then we got another officer.
What job were you given in the platoon?
Bren gunner, mostly.
Were you already familiar with the Bren gun?
Oh, yes, yeah. Could strip it down, blindfold.
What happened next?
They took the Norfolk badges away from us, gave us Fusiliers ones. Then we moved into the line.
What did it look like when you got there?
Well, you change over night times in the dark, so the enemy don't detect you changing over. Because if they detect you changing over somebody else before you familiarise yourself with the position, that's when you're at your weakest point. So you do it at night.
Who did you take over from?
Australians. Well, which ones, I don't know.
What did the front line look like when day broke?
Oh, the Semachon Valley was very wide. And they don't put you in the dangerous positions the first time you go in the line. You get close to the enemy at the end of the year, you know what I mean?
Were you in trenches?
Oh, yeah. Trenches, two-man trenches, two-man bunkers.
How deep were they?
Well, they weren't very deep. They had wood and sandbags over the top, so they were shellproof. And they were mostly the bunk was on the other rear end of the hill, not the front.
Could you be comfortable in the trenches?
Oh, yeah. It's the summertime or wintertime, that could be 50 below or very hot. You had three different types of clothes and Tommy were out there.
But you arrived in the summer, did you?
Yeah.
So what clothing were you wearing?
Jungle greens, light white stuff.
Where did you sleep?
In the bunk behind the hill.
On the ground?
Well, bare boxes or something like that.
On boxes?
Bare boxes, crates.
Did you cover the boxes over with anything?
You had your ground sheet or something like that and perhaps had a blanket. In the wintertime you had sleeping bags. Double ones. But you never got a lot of sleep, really. You were lucky to get 4 hours sleep in 24. Because being on static positions, hills, you get a lot of fog and mist, and you've got to be at standstill all that while, sometimes 16 hours if the fog didn't clear, because they can sneak up on you under the fog, you see. Or mist.
So did you get very tired?
Well, I think that's, you do that for 2 months, 2 months in the line, a month out, and you're really too tired to be what you call frightened, if you know what I mean.
You mean after a while you couldn't care less?
Well, you still had discipline and shaved every day and things like that. But the biggest bore was, some positions we were in, you had, with your Bren gun, you had 48 magazines, 12 in a box. And ease the springs, because you couldn't keep the bullets in the magazine all the while, because that'd weaken the spring, wouldn't it? So sometimes next morning you'd have to get your tin hat and get your bullets, take them all out of the magazine, and put them back in the night times, and then do the other box the next day, and the next day, and that was the boring part, because that'd break the springs if you kept the ammunition in, or the bullets in springs for month in, month out.
Did you have any other tedious jobs in the trenches?
No, not really. Only perhaps when you'd been mortared and shelled, sometimes thrown the soil back out of the trenches.
What kind of food were you expected to eat in the front line?
All those American sea rations, which were packed in 1942.
Did you like them?
Not really, because we was used to bread and taters every day, weren't we, in our basic diet, but that was rich food. They had sort of like crackers, what we could like cream crackers and that sort of thing. And toilet paper, and got 20 cigarettes a day in with the rations. We had about 6 tins, 3 meals a day.
So was it too rich?
Oh, I thought so. I mean, we don't like ham and lager beans and chicken and frankfurters and things like that. It may sound daft to you, but...
Couldn't you get anything more basic?
Not really. That was all the American sea rations.
But did you get rice or
no.
Spaghetti or
anything? No.
Or potatoes?
No.
And no bread?
Well, you got bread occasionally because the Commonwealth Division had their own bakery miles behind the line.
What did you drink?
Mostly water.
Alcohol?
You were allowed alcohol, yeah, if they could get it to you. Had a rum ration before you went on patrol, or if that was too cold.
How did you heat the food?
Let's explain. Like a candle. Just cut a slice off like that, and put it down, and put 3 stones, and put the tin on top.
heat it up.
Yeah,
adequately.
Done a good. Yeah.
Did you ever get tea and coffee?
No, you got in the sea rations. There was coffee, but no tea. Dried milk and coffee, and matches, and things like that. But you never had tea.
Do you like coffee?
Not really. Still don't today.
And did you smoke?
Yeah. Lord Nuffield used to give us 50 a week, and there was 20 a day in your rations. American cigarettes in the rations, you see.
Did you like them?
They aren't as good as our senior service or John Player or anything like that.
They weren't?
No, because the saltpeter in them used to burn like furs war.
And what duties did you first have in this first place in the Samichon Valley?
The first night we went, had to go on a listening patrol on a small hillock between our positions and their positions. And on the same ridge, the Chinese went through a booby trap, and you could hear them jabbering away within about 100 yards of us.
Did they set off the booby trap?
Yeah.
Did it cause casualties to them?
I should imagine so, yeah. And we went up, our platoon went up next day, and one of our men, the first man got killed walking in another booby trap when they see there's a Chinese, what damage had been done with them the night before. And we lost first day in the line, we lost a bloke. He went up the same position to see the Chinese war hurt and that, and still there. And he walked in a booby trap in the trench.
Were you anywhere near at the time?
150 yards away. It was probably, they went up during the day where we'd been, it was probably sleeping because we'd been on patrol all night.
What happened after this, first listening patrol?
The next night we went out on a fighting patrol, ambush fighting patrol. 15 men. Ambush patrols and fighting patrols had 15 men in. The listening patrol had 4, and the recce patrol had 3.
What happened on this ambush fighting patrol?
When a flare went up, just see one Chinese run along the paddy field, and that was all. But on the way out, we had one Chinese cock his gun, but you see there was 15 of us, and he didn't. But he could have been the one who ran on the paddy fields to tell the Chinese we were landing in ambush when they come and get their casualties back.
How did you like going out on patrol?
It was terrible, really. Sometimes the mosquitoes and dampness and things like that. But you all had to do it, take your turns.
Was it frightening?
I suppose it was the first. Yeah.
Did it help having been brought up in the countryside?
I think it did, yeah. Roughing it, you know, and...
Was the countryside there much different from Norfolk?
Norfolk is the flattest place in the country, where that's all hills and valleys.
What about the vegetation there?
Well, there was no vegetation on our hills or theirs because they'd been mortared so many times or shelled so many times. But in no man's land, there was quite a bit of cover. All paddy buns and shrubs and that sort of thing, you know, shrubbery.
Did the mosquitoes bother you very much?
Oh, yeah. We had a sort of like a scarf sort of like thing we'd put over our heads and all that, but...
Did that do any good?
Not really, no.
were telling me that you took a drug against malaria.
That was Paladrin.
How often did you take that?
Your sergeant used to come around every day and give you one.
Did you take it faithfully?
Oh, yeah, you would do, yeah.
You were telling me that you think it's had some effect on you in later life.
Well, see, when we come out of the army as well, when we stopped taking the Paladrin, the malaria was dormant in your spleen. So when you stopped taking your Paladrin, a month afterwards, we all got malaria when we come out of the army. Went to the doctors and he said, well, I can send you to Rouhamp, and he said you'd get about 3 and 6 a week pension. So that wasn't worth going.
But you told me earlier that you thought it had affected your hearing.
Well, that's common knowledge 48 years afterwards. In the Korean Veterans Association, they all say this and booklets on it and that sort of thing.
So, coming back to the operations, you told me about your first listening patrol and your first fighting patrol. What do you remember happening after that?
Well, you must probably stayed, done a listening patrol end of the minefield and stayed there for about 2 months and in that position, then moved, come out for a month and went back to in another position near the enemy.
What did you do during the month away from the line?
There was another line, a line 25 miles behind the front line, digging secondary positions, trenches, and in case we all got pushed back off the first line.
So you were mostly digging?
Yeah. Picks and shovels, you know, it was like on concrete, on rock hills and all that, and that wasn't easy digging like the desert.
Could you be more comfortable when you were out of the line?
You was at a shell fire and mortar fire and that sort of thing.
In the first position that you were in, were you under much enemy fire?
Perhaps sometimes in the middle of the day, perhaps, because we was a good way away, as I say, 400 or 500 yards away from the enemy position, so they couldn't overlook you.
And where did you go to in the second period in the line?
Closer to the enemy positions, where they were overlooking you. You know what I mean? Their hill was taller than what ours was. Somewhere near Old Baldy, or 355. I can't remember.
Was Old Baldy the same as 355?
No, they were opposite each other. One was theirs and one was ours. 355 was ours.
Were you on 355?
No, we was at a foothill, a little hill below there.
Were these trenches much different from the others?
No, they're basically all the same. A communal trench all the way around and fighting pits leading off. Two-man fighting pits, mostly.
What was it like the second period in the line?
Well, you know, keep your heads down more during the day.
Did anybody from your platoon or company fall casualty?
Not in that position, no.
What do you remember about the patrols in the second position?
We lost an officer and two... officer got wounded, the two blokes behind him got killed.
From a different company?
No, from our platoon.
Were you out with that?
No, he went. The officer went